Company of One, episode number 29. Welcome to the show. This is Del Callahan. I am your host of Company of One. This is the show where we teach you how to operate like a company, how to take some of the skills, some of the mindset of making money that companies do, how to operate like you're in control, like you're in control of the amount of money you make, the customers you serve, and the products you deliver. That's what we're really all about here. We're trying to help the corporate America person see that not only are there opportunities for entrepreneurship, but there are also opportunities right where you sit today to take back control. Today we have a very interesting subject of how to determine your net worth in terms of your company value. This is not net worth of a financial terms like a financial planner would do, but this would be, well, let's just call it how to determine your value at work. How does your employer look at you when they see what you do? Do they consider it a value add? And what we're going to do is show you a formula for actually calculating a financial number, dollars and cents. Well, you could show to your boss or your customer or whatever you want to call them, here's how much I bring to you. Here's how much I bring to the table. Very interesting proposition. So that's what we're going to do. We're going to do that in just a moment. But first, I just want to tell you a little bit about what we are doing or what I am doing. We are I am going to be doing a blog post on what customers value coming up this Thursday, assuming all things work right because it's not completely written yet. But how do you understand what customers value? You know, we always take it for granted what people value. We think it's always money. We think it's sometimes it's good service, you know, but how do you determine what it is your customers value? There's actually been some research done on that, and it, you know, it's not always obvious what's valued and what is not valued. And believe it or not, sometimes it is not money. So that's coming up. And if you've been to my blog, and I'm pulling that up right now as we speak, we are going to be in Tampa, Florida at some point, and as soon as I actually can type this correctly, we're going to be in Tampa, Florida doing a PMI workshop or for their October meeting on October the 21st. So if you're a member of PMI of Tampa, Florida, or the Florida area, or the Tampa area, come join us. And if you've heard this podcast, come tell me hello. I mean, it's always kind of fun that you hear people that they come up to you and they talk to you that they've been part of what you're blogging. They've been part of your podcast. They've been, you know, engaging with you in different ways. And then you finally meet them. It's just, it's really kind of fun. It's like you know them. They walk up to you, a stranger, and then they say, you know, I've been listening to your podcast. And, you know, the podcast you did the other day, I had this happen to me not long ago. And the podcast happened, you know, they're mentioning a podcast and what they were doing with it. And it was almost as if they had picked up from a conversation we'd been having, you know, a couple of months ago. And, you know, just like we've been talking about this for a while, it's kind of, it's weird, to be quite honest, but it's fun also to be helping people, to engage with them and for people to come up and give you their thoughts. How something has or has not worked for them. I mean, you know, one of the things about, and any of those of you that are teachers that do any kind of teaching, and I don't mean just teachers in the K through 12 sense, but, you know, you do teaching at a university level or do teaching from a corporate level. Isn't it true that we always learn more when we're teaching than any other time? It's that there's absolute clarity in trying to explain something to somebody else. And then the feedback that comes from the people that are engaging in your material, that how they have perceived it. You know, people will tell me, well, things I thought, well, that's not even what I meant. That's brilliant, but that's not what I meant. Of course, I'll take credit for it, you know, but that's not exactly how I meant for it to come across. So anyway, we'll be there in Nashville, and then coming up in Tampa on October 21st, and then in Nashville on November 14th. I forget that 11 means November for Nashville AITP meeting, and that is the AITP. I'm going to say this incorrectly. Let's look up what AIT, Association of Information Technology Professionals. Okay, so I was right. Association of Information Technology Professionals. I'll be in that meeting in November, and we'll be keynoting on both of those. So if you're in either one of those, come say hello to us. We've got other meetings that we're planning to be at and be speaking at, but dates are not nailed down yet. So let's jump into this issue of value. How do you determine your value at work in dollars and cents? Now, this is a really powerful, this is really powerful stuff when you look at dollars and cents, because all of us go to work and we have a job description that, of course, nobody pays any attention to, but we have a job description, and then we have the written job description that we don't pay attention to, then we have a real job description that's just constantly evolving, no matter where you're at, that's just the case. And we feel like what people value in us is, just there's lots of intangible things. And all that's great, all that's really great, and I'm not going to take away from intangibles. But when you put something in front of people in dollars and cents, it has entirely different conversation. Let me give you a case in point. When I was at Bell South, we had a situation where we were trying to value a laboratory that we had. We were spending a massive amount of money, but So as the company looks at this, and in the laboratory, what we did is we evaluated software before it went into the field. Now, you have to understand, the company at the time had 20,000 customers. That doesn't even sound right. But anyway, it was 20 million customers. 20 million customers. And inside the network, when we released products and services, which were telecommunications products and services, bad software caused bad things to happen. Because we're computer systems, they tend to have a ripple effect. They would either impact a few customers or impact a massive amount of customers. So that's what we did. We tested software before it got released into the field. Or into the servers, into the switches, as we call them. And the corporation as a whole was looking at the cost of our function and thinking, well, it needs to be shut down because we cost a lot of money. And so what we were charged with doing, kind of internally, we made the decision to say, let's find a formula to show how much value we add to the company. Let's show them that we are actually worth money. So we did a calculation, and I think we came up with, we saved the company $13 million per year. Now, $13 million per year in terms of a company Bell South size is really not that significant, except it was not negative. It was, we were truly saving money. And just by doing some homework, we created a number. Now, numbers, you could sit there and say, well, especially if you're in the telecom field, and you could sit there and you could look at our spreadsheets and you could argue with me the validity over my numbers, over my assumptions, over the team, and all the things we assumed going into this. You could do that. But what was really weird is they didn't. Nobody argued, because when we stepped up to the table and said, look, here's the amount of money we save, we were the only people with numbers. It was really weird because nobody else had a number. Nobody else had calculated value. So suddenly you stood out like, well, they clearly have $13 million in value. And that's the power of these numbers. Now, it's not to say you won't be questioned on this. It's not to say that you will not modify your numbers. But what I'm talking about is, can you get a number to say, I add $100,000 in value to my company every year just by showing up and doing my job? Now, that's pretty cool. Now, we have to say I add $100,000. Now, I'm going to tell you what that means. So, but that's what we're talking about. We're talking about determining your value. I'm going to talk you through the steps. And we have on the website at dellcallahan.com/29 for 29th episode, the notes here. And so I'm going to walk you through what some of these are. First, we got to understand the goal. And that is for what we're trying to do is get a, and that's what I'm talking through right now, get a clear picture of what we're trying to calculate. If instead of hiring you for your job, I outsourced it to a company, right? And that's my presupposition. You are a company of one. You're a service provider. I could either hire you to do it, or I can keep paying you to do it, or I can contract it, right? So that's all we're talking about. What you need to do is show value to them, because if I contract it out, the contractor has really got to prove to me value. And so this is how it works. And I'm going to call these terms because we talk about revenue and profit, but I don't mean your corporate revenue and profit in terms of your corporation, that your employer. So I'm going to call it me revenue. Me revenue is the revenue you or me brings to the company. Your me revenue is the extra revenue or savings that you bring, right? Because if I save a company $10 million a year by doing my job, that's just as good as revenue. So I'm calling that me revenue. And that's the number we're going to try to really get at, because that's the hard number to get at, is how much value do you bring measured only in dollars and cents? Okay? We can measure it in feel good. We can measure it in all kinds of other things. And that's some of the things we'll be blogging about on Thursday. But right now, let's talk the thing that really speaks crisply. Dollars and cents. So your me revenue. Now, if I subtract from that revenue the amount of value I bring to my corporation, to my employer, if I subtract my cost, now your cost or my cost would be your salary plus benefits. So if you don't know what your benefits are, by the way, let me make very clear here. Benefits to you, you look at your pay stub and you know you're paid whatever the number is, you're paid $1,000 last month, but you only brought home $500, and all that junk in between is taxes and benefits, and you're feeling like, the benefits add no value to me. They're funny money, because out of that $1,000, you really only see $500. But if you're the employer, those benefits are real dollars. Those benefits cost real money. It's not funny money. When we look at paying part of your tax bill, which they do, that's real dollars. When we look at paying part of your insurance, that's real dollars. When we look at, all these things underneath, that when you're an employer, you've got to deal with things that you, as an employee, don't even have a clue what they are. And I used to tell my accountant, whenever we did payroll, I was like, we're paying government agencies. What do these agencies do for me? And, and he would explain it to me gently and carefully, but I never really got it, but they were literal checks I was signing going off to pay for somebody's benefits. So when you look at your cost plus benefits, if you don't know what your benefits, and now you probably know what your salary is. Let's say you make $50,000 a year, that's your salary. Your benefits, if you don't know what they are, choose 25%. They're probably a little bit more actually, but let's just choose 25% as an easy number. So, 25% of the $50,000, you add that in, and that's the total cost. So if I look at your me revenue, the revenue that you bring in, or the cost you save, minus what you cost to show up, the two of those subtracted are your profit. That's your value. And I'm going to call that me profit, so we don't get confused between the corporation profit and your profit that you bring. But that's the me profit. And this is the value that you bring to the organization. That's what you want to go. Now, it goes without saying, I hope this goes without saying, when you do this calculation, if your me profit is zero or negative, when you look at the value, when you look at what I do for the corporation minus what I cost and it's negative, you got a problem. And you either have your formulas wrong, you've got the wrong numbers, or you need to get busy. And you don't need to go sharing this information until you get busy. It should be, in matter of fact, it shouldn't even be zero. It should be substantial what your me profit is. My rule of thumb is this. If I'm paying you $50,000 per year, let's forget the benefits. Let's say the total cost you are to me is $50,000 per year, salary and benefits. Then you should be bringing in $100,000 of impact or me revenue. Therefore, so in other words, your cost should be about equal to your profit. Because if it's zero, I don't care. Now, to make that clear to you that that's the way it is, if I call you up tomorrow and I say, I have a great deal. We're going to offer you, I'm assuming you all have a cell phone, but I have a great deal. I'm going to give you, with my provider of cell phone service, I'm going to give you the exact same service with the exact same telephone with the exact same number of minutes for the exact same price. All you need to do is let's spend a few minutes. We'll sign you up, but I'm going to give you exactly what you got. It's a you know, zero deal, zero sum deal. To choose from provider A to provider B is going to cost you nothing. You gain nothing. Now, probably what you're thinking is what I would be thinking is, why would I want to do that? I just hang up. I don't want to spend 5 minutes messing with this because there's no value. That's why I have to tell you, you get the first 2 months free. You get a better deal. You get a better phone. I have to have something to add value. Zero sum gain does not add value. So if I'm paying you $50,000 and you are adding $50,000 in value and it comes up to, I subtract the two and I get zero, that looks okay to your eyes. That looks terrible to an employer's eyes because you spell risk. And risk is not in this calculation. You're an employee and therefore there's risk. So substantial, you need to be your profit, you need to be bringing in terms of your revenue or your me revenue needs to be at least twice your salary. How's that for? But that's the easier way to say it. So that's the first thing, is just trying to understand a goal. This is, since we're talking about you being a company or being a company of one, that's the principle, is that that's what you do. Now, from that, you know, that's the same calculation you do in your household. The amount you bring in minus the amount you spend is the amount left over at the month. That's what we're talking about. Same for your employer. Now, what you want to do once you've got this in your head is you want to create a word formula. So I'm going to give you an example that somebody, we really did this. A lady, she works for a power industry, in the power industry. She is a support engineer she supports some of their data processing stuff where they gather data from the substations and things like that. So what she had is her word formula. Now, a word formula is you writing down what it is you do to add value. In her case, these are two. She had 10 of them, but these are two of them. One of them, she installed software ahead of schedule, which saved labor. So that's her reward formula. Now, what's not written in that is because if she could do it remotely, they didn't have to roll trucks out to substations and to those various locations to get it done. Therefore, she saved money. So by doing it ahead of schedule. But she wrote this down on paper. This was just, she thought, you know, I think me doing this saves the company money. Okay. Another one she had was, I located and tested new integration tools, reducing the equipment cost per location. In other words, these are probably pieces of software. I'm just guessing. She just went out and found some tools, software tools that help them install things faster, quicker, more economically at every location. And I believe location here means substation. If you don't know what a substation is, it's those big, ginormous, fenced-in facilities the power company uses that are always buzzing. They're part of distributing the power to you. But these are two things that she had in her word formula. In other words, you write down in common sense, everyday language, when I do this, I think it adds value to the company. Okay? So I call that a word formula. Because what we're doing is we're going to start there and do math from it. You probably are going to have 10, maybe 20, maybe 30 of these, you know, one sentence things that you do to add value. Maybe you have one, but it's probably more than that. So this is your word formula. The next thing you want to do is you want to find the value of each item. Now, I'm going to take the first example. Installing software ahead of schedule to save labor. Now, I've got this again written in text at dellcallahan.com/29. You can see this in text, but because she installed software ahead of schedule, which saved labor, she saves approximately $6,000 in labor cost with each early install. Now, where do those numbers $6,000 come from? Well, being that she's in the power industry, she knows how much it costs to send a truck. Your company knows a lot of this stuff. So how much does it cost to send a truck? How much does it cost to, they probably call that a truck roll. How many men or man hours are involved in that truck roll? So if you know that your average is, you know, it costs $200 to send a truck to a location and to do the kind of work that needs to do is install the software, because it's at a substation, it requires two people. You know, and let's say it's another $100 an hour per person. So you realize for an hour of activity there, it's $300. Now, again, your industry, you can probably find, you know, it's amazing how much data is out there for industry. I know when we did this in telecommunications, in the recent example I was talking about, we found out exactly how much, well, we found out in an industry accepted value for how much it cost when a bug was a critical software bug, a software error, if you don't like the word bug, but when something was considered critical and there were certain criteria for critical, that and it got to the field, it cost massive amount of money. And there was these stats, and in the where the money came from and the statistics was, you know, the average number of man hours it costs to fix it, the average number of customers impacted, and the impact on the customers. And you can see people have studied a lot. If you're in a pretty major industry, that probably there's some numbers out there. And that's what this gal was doing. She found out the $6,000 in labor costs to she saved $6,000 each time she installed software early. She saved a truck roll. She saved time. She may have saved outage time. She, you know, where that $6,000 came from, you know, that was part of her trying to get her head around this. So $6,000 per early install. Last year, she did an early install at 5 plants within 3 weeks, 2 weeks before schedule. Now, I'm just reading the text. Obviously, these are not substations. These are power plants. Which might explain the cost. That could even include downtime on a particular system of the power plant. So anyway, you take the 6,000 times the 5 times you did this last year, and you have a $30,000 total savings for the company. Okay, so starting for that one word formula, installed software ahead of schedule, she realized that she added $30,000 in value on that one single thing she did, because she did it 5 times. Now, her second statement we said was that she located and tested new integration tools and installed them on sites, reducing equipment cost. Now, if you don't have a clue what that means, that's okay. You know, that I think I know what it means, but I'm probably wrong. But in point being, she did this at each, she provided a service at each location, and it saved equipment cost. How's that? Whatever it is. Now, if you're in the home building industry, it's one thing. If you're in the coffee delivery industry, it's another. You know, if you're a chef, it's another. But here's, for her, a software support person in telecommunications for a power company. How's that for a whole bunch of words tied together? What she did is she located and tested new integration tools being installed at sites, therefore reducing equipment costs. She saved approximately $5,000 per site install, and she did this 20 times over the last year. Okay, now you can do the math. 5,000 saved 20 times, savings of $100,000. Okay, so again, her second word formula, by the time she put some numbers to it, she realizes she saved the company $100,000. Now remember, the reason I want to pick on her example is because for so many people out there that are project managers, are support engineers, or something that's in because if you're a salesperson, this is fairly easy, right? You sell widgets, and it's pretty easy to calculate whether you brought in money or not. But so many of the corporate people that are in this audience, they tend to be support people. They tend to be administrative people. They tend to support other efforts. And people will tell me all the time, well, you can't quantify this. Yes, you can. You can quantify. It may take a little bit of research. It may take you getting off your rear and go figuring it out. But you can do it. In our graduate program, we require people to do this. We require people to come up with their, we tell them, go find your number. And this is a requirement. They have to document it. They have to turn it in. Now, let me give you the rest of the formula. There's just two things. Out of this, this gal has saved her power company $130,000 per year. Now, it might be interesting for you to know, she makes, I'm estimating, she makes, I actually know, but I'm going to just give you this, I'm giving you the estimate, but it's $70,000 per year. Now, off the $70,000, let's say we add the benefits of 25%, because that's, if she doesn't know any better, that means she costs them about $87,000 a year round. So $87,000 a year. So point being, she saved $130 on just two of her 10 items. She cost $87. She's in the black, right? She can show value. When it comes time to do downsizing, when it comes time to do layoffs, when it comes time to do pay raises, she has an argument. Do you? That's the point, is do you have an argument for how much value you add? Now, I'm not including her other items in here, but when looking back at her data, she had 10 items on her list, 10 word formulas. She added them together. She did this cost analysis on each thing, did a beautiful job of it. Her total savings to her company was $250,500 per year for her employer. Now, so you can take her, that's her ME revenue. That's her cost savings, $250,500 minus her cost, which was $70,000 times 1.25, or it's $87,500. That's her cost to her employer. So now you subtract those two numbers and you get her ME profit, or her value, of $163,000. Now, if you could go to your employer and slide a sheet of paper across his or her desk and say, look, I brought you or saved you $163,000 last year. I just want you to, and you're not doing this in a bragging way or anything. We're going to talk about that in just a minute. But how does that feel to you if you could do that? If you can quantify what it means, I'm just like, wow. This is really cool. For this gal, she's bringing in about twice what she cost is the value. Perfect. She's two times her cost in her what she does for the company. Wonderful. She's in a great position. If you come up and this is negative, don't go share with your boss. Let's talk about that. What do you do? What do you do with this number? She's come at 163. Well, this depends. If your number is negative, go back and look at ways to add value. You may have discovered what your employer already knows. If you sit here and think, well, I'm going to hide this and I'm not going to tell them, you know, they probably already have figured it out. They just may not be firing you for various reasons, but you better get busy. It could be that your numbers are wrong, your assumptions are wrong. It could be that you're just not adding value. You know what? And a lot of people in corporate America, I think, might fit there, but their numbers are negative. They need to get busy. But even if your numbers are positive and nobody knows it, they might as well be negative. Okay, let me say that again. Even if your numbers are positive, if the value you bring to your corporation, if the value you bring to your employer is positive and big and powerful, and they don't know it, you might as well be losing them money. Because you're still at risk. Now, if your number is minimal, let's say she was adding $30,000 in value. Her me profit was $30,000. Well, that's not two times her salary. You're not even your salary. The risk of having an employee, and let me tell you some of those risks. The risk are lawyers. The risk are lawsuits. The risk are you as an employee doing something stupid to impact your customers or impact your network. There's risk because I've put you to work. So if you're just generating 30, that I'm going to say that's a minimal number. So you still need to get to work. You still need to figure it out. Now, if your number is over two times your salary, then you're in a good position. In her case, her number, her salary was about 80-something thousand. She's 163,000 in value. Yeah, she's close, but she's, I'm going to say about two times value. But you, at this point, if you come up with these numbers, here's what not to do. Don't run screaming down the hall to your boss and say, "Give me a pay raise." Probably not the most effective thing you're going to do. Matter of fact, a lot of times when I do this and I do this exercise and there's employers in the room, they kind of squeamish. They're like, I don't really want my people to do that. Until what I try to explain to them is, look, that's not the point. The point is everybody needs to know the value being added. We should be clear. If this gal was bringing in $400,000 per year in her value, that doesn't necessarily mean she deserves a pay raise. Okay, let's be clear about that. That doesn't necessarily mean she's, because a part of a pay raise is, can I get somebody else to do this for less or equal money? And if I can, and they can maybe even do better, then you don't need a pay raise. That's market driven. So the point is, if you can't add value, then you don't deserve working there. What we're talking about here is, once you do this, what do you do with this information? I'm going to assume that you're intelligent people and you can do this and you can read this blog and you can figure this out and you can go out there and calculate this and find a number. And I'm going to even assume that your number is going to be pretty darn good. Now, here's what I would do with it. I would share it with your customers. Now, I say that seriously. That doesn't mean I'm going to go in there and say, look, Mr. and Ms. Boss, I want a pay raise. I would share it with your customers and say, look, I came up with the things I thought was doing that was adding value, and here's kind of a number situation. I'm not looking for a pay raise. I'd be clear. I'm not looking for a pay raise. What I'm trying to do is maximize the impact I have in this company and concentrate my time and energy where it adds the most value. So the first thing you want to have done is slide all your calculations across the table and say, do you agree? Am I really off? Is that $6,000 way off? You know, this is a chance to turn to change your numbers, to educate your customer, and for them to educate you, because it's like me standing in front of your home and saying, you know, I think painting your home adds $10,000 in value to you. And you're looking at it saying, I think it adds $2,000. It really doesn't matter what I think, because you're the person with a checkbook and you're the person that's the customer, right? So we've got to at least come to terms and maybe come to an agreement of $4,000 or $5,000. We both move and get to a point where we agree the value. And that's what we're doing here. You're trying to get clarity on the value. Now, a couple of things are happening when you're talking to your customer. I'll tell you that in just a second. But what happens also as you're looking at this is, let's say you came up with six things. Let's say one added 28,000, one added 30, one added 100, one added 32, one added 49, and one added 10,000. I'm just rattling numbers off, okay? You know, if I am you and if I am your boss, I realize, you know, that one little effort and that activity you did saved us $10,000 last year. But that little other effort you did saved us $100,000. I mean, this is obvious, right? How do we get you to do more $100,000 stuff and less $10,000 stuff? Right? That's what adds the most value. And matter of fact, that little $10,000, I'm not going to sneeze at $10,000. Can you show somebody else how to do that? And let me let you concentrate on the $100,000. So instead of just generating $100,000, you generate $200,000 in savings next year. I mean, it helps me as your employer, and it helps you have the conversation about what adds the most value, right? And it helps you to leverage value. Because if I'm your employer, I would like you to move that $163,000 in value number to $563,000, that is. And you would like the same thing, because as soon as you do, you know, now we're to a point that I can pay you more money, significantly more money. I mean, that's what it's all about in the end, right? We're trying to maximize value to my employer should in turn come back and maximize value to me. It's just not immediate. Showing these numbers is not immediate. Now, what you're looking at doing here is also, can you provide some training manuals to add value? Anything that you've done here, can you leverage it? Can you say, I keep doing this one thing and it adds a great amount of value. Can I teach other people on my team to do the same thing? That will add value also. What you're trying to do is get agreement. It's critical to get to your final number to get agreement. And you just kind of take this apart and you do it one at a time. Because here's what's going on as you're having this conversation with your superior. They are thinking in the back of their mind, what's my number? While they may be engaging with you and they may be talking to you and they may be arguing with you or maybe agreeing with you, they may be helping you adjust the numbers. In the back of their mind, the entire time is they're thinking, what's my number? And part of what you're trying to do is help them communicate that your number is part of their number. Because as your boss, they can claim some of that number. Does that make sense? Because that's part of their organization. So their organization, their department, whatever it is, adds value. But that's what they're thinking. Is they're thinking, you know, Dale's sitting here trying to justify what he's doing. He's trying to prove what he's doing. He's trying to improve what he's doing. What am I doing? And so when you do this, you're going to find these cautious people that they don't want to come out and say too much. They seem very cautious. They may seem argumentative, but you have to sit in their seat and recognize that's what's going on in their head. It's not that they just hate what you're doing or they love what you're doing. It's that they're processing it. This is all, and if you do this and you keep doing this and you keep adding value, here's what happens. Just like in so many other things I've talked about, as you do these things, people look, they pay attention, they take notice. And as they take notice, they will start to do the things that you're doing. Because all you're doing is saying, look, I'm a business, I'm a company of one, therefore I should be adding value. Let me see how it looks. Let's put a number on it, right? That's what every single division, every single department, every single individual in a corporation should be doing, because somebody somewhere in your corporation is doing that calculation. It could be totally wrong. It could be based upon the wrong data. Nobody knows your value, or at least the kind of things you are doing as much as you do. So this is your responsibility to your customers to communicate this. If you get fired because you're adding $163,000 of value to the corporation a year and they don't know it, it's not their fault. It's yours. Now, they suffer from firing you, but you suffer more, right? They can replace you. Even if they replace you with somebody who's incompetent, they can replace you. But you're the one who lost all your income. So this is what this is about. This seems like an exercise that may take some time, and it may. I'm not going to kid you. This may take some time. It will probably be a lot of aha moments, like you really discover some things going on inside your organization. This is powerful. There's nothing that talks as much as money. There's nothing as powerful as dollars and cents to measure the value. So give this a shot. This is, again, you can find this at /29 for episode number 29. And thanks for listening. Thanks for the comments. I got lots of comments from people via email. For those of you that do the SpeakPipe thing, it's always fun because I feel like I know people because I actually hear their voice. Some of you obviously we know personally. Some of you I've never met. But I'm hearing from, and thank you for engaging. Thank you for your feedback. Thank you for directing this. You can go to find this as Company of One on iTunes. There's a link in the show notes at dalecallahan.com/29 where you can link to this on iTunes. If you're a podcast listener, if you're not a podcast listener and you don't listen to a lot of podcasts, I mean, it's just, I love podcasts. I've recently discovered them, but I love podcasts. I just learned so much interacting with the people I listen to, and you'll find no matter what you want to talk about, what you want to listen to, there's people out there podcasting about it. So, but I ask that you just look at the podcast, look at my podcast, rate us on iTunes, and just give us a comment. Tell other people, help other people find stuff, help other people to connect with you. But right now, you've got to go do your own value and do your value proposition. Go find your me revenue. Go find the value that you add. But more important than that, just go make something happen.